Okay, thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for coming. I know that other people will be coming later, but as they drift in, we'll be in progress as far as all the mission sharing. So I want to take this time to use this as our opportunity to get caught up on what's going on related to the Chinese Community Church's mission activities. Let me just lay out real quick what we're going to be doing this morning. First of all, we're going to have a presentation as it relates to our activities that we have a long-term sustaining commitment. So we have some long-term mission activities, and then we'll have some presentations as it relates to our short-term activities. Short-term activities are activities related to people going in some areas to do training, in some cases to help out in like the summer camp in Wuxi, and also to find out what we're going to be doing as we're exploring and opportunities to go to other parts of the world, like as in Kenya for the GAP ministry. So we'll be doing that, and then we'll have a presentation by Dr. Mark Cho about what was going on with the Samuel Pollard Institute, and so we'll be able to get caught up. So this opportunity to share with you, to get you, keep you informed about what's going on with the CCC mission activities, and also to be an encouragement to you that indeed what God has blessed us with in being able to reach out, as God tells us that we should be going out in the world from Jerusalem, Judea, and to the outermost parts. And of course, that relates to what we're doing locally here in the Chinese Community Church in Washington, D.C. area, as well as what we're going to be doing in other parts of the country, as well as what we're doing in China and other parts of the world. So that, indeed, is our approach that we're looking at. So before we get started, I would like to ask Pastor Charles to come up and just to say a word of prayer to get us started.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for giving us a small part in the work of your kingdom. We thank you, O Lord, for the opportunity and ministry of missions in and through our church. Thank you that this is what Jesus did, and thank you that this is what he wants his people to do. We thank you, O Lord, for our brothers and sisters, both here and in other parts of the world, who are involved in missions, in sharing the Lord Jesus Christ with people, in bringing his love to those who are in need. And we pray, O Father, that you would have mercy on our church and you would enable us to do more and more mission work for you. Give us, Father God, the mindset of your Son Jesus, who sees men and women as sheep without a shepherd. And help us, Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to reach out to them and to share the Lord Jesus with them, wherever we may be. So we commit this time to you, and we pray that your name may be honored. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.
As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we at CCC, like other Christians around the world, have a job to do. Many verses in the Bible tell us so, but none can state it so clearly as 1 Chronicles 16:8. Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. How can we be faithful to that command? At CCC, we have begun this work on many levels. A missions policy was formally adopted in 2004 by the official board and is carried out by the mission subgroup of the Religious Education Committee. Missions at CCC is defined as any ministry conducted outside the local congregation, the purpose of which is to make Christ known through evangelism, discipling, church planting, and church development. Let's look at the global missions we support. Greg and Luna Chen are CCC's own commissioned missionaries, currently working through Chinese Christian Life Fellowship, training churches in youth ministry, and training parents in raising godly children. They are challenged by the enormity of the task, given that youth work is a neglected ministry in China, and that the government can be troublesome regarding things they do not understand. Please pray for new staff and workers to co-labor with them, for appropriate sites in which to conduct their camps and trainings, and for Greg and Luna's own spiritual nourishment. Brother Wong works through the International Foundation to run the Samuel Pollard Institute. The Institute strives to demonstrate God's grace by serving the basic education and health needs among the underprivileged people in China. The extreme poverty and remoteness of this area in the mountains of southwest China make progress slow and the basic needs of the staff and students hard to meet. Pray for the team to be fully staffed and for money for repairs to the building and for teaching materials. Gospel Carrier International was established in 1993 to bring the gospel to distant Chinese communities which are not served by others. After acquiring an aircraft, geographic barriers were diminished, and teams have been able to provide training and materials to unserved areas. They also conduct Bible studies, evangelistic meetings, and provide pastoral care. One of their biggest challenges is maintaining an aging plane. Please pray for their financial needs and more volunteer co-workers. The Chinese Gospel Broadcasting Center uses a variety of media to provide teaching and testimonies to a large underserved Chinese population. The materials produced are formatted for internet, radio, telephone, and tape and CD distribution in a number of Chinese dialects. The founding family, Hector and Eileen Liu, are challenged by the fast pace in which technology is growing and the number of Chinese with special needs who are identified almost daily. Pray for enough co-workers to help with production, recording, and learning the new technology. Pray for the finances to keep up with the demand. Pastor Stephen Leung has been involved in the cross-cultural ministry of Ascension Church in Forest Hills, New York, with the challenge of turning a mission project into a self-supporting independent church. He describes his year's work in the following slides. Another missionary CCC has supported for a number of years is Grace Shen of OMF International. She has persevered at developing relationships with the Hat people so that they will want to know Jesus. Previously, Grace had to work through a software development company in order to remain in China. Her challenge was to prevent the work of the business from overshadowing her ministry work. Please pray for grace as she discerns her next ministry assignment from God. Although her heart is with the village people in China, God may have other plans for her. Peter and Christine Yim are spreading the gospel through the Navigators. They have been working in Thailand since 2011. Peter as a university lecturer and Christine as a high school counselor. The college campus is one of the few places that foreigners can connect to Thai people at a deep level. The challenge is that less than 1% of the 65 million people are Christian there, which makes them one of the most unreached people groups of the world. Pray for the recruitment of another missionary couple to help them with this tremendous mission field. B-World missionaries, Brother John and Sister Donna, visited us during their home leave last year and have since gone back to a new location in a restricted access area of Asia to do evangelism, discipling, and Bible training. They are teaching English and sharing the gospel in small groups. Challenged by the need to share the gospel quietly and to discern which contacts to follow up on. Please pray for their health, stamina, protection, and wisdom. Herald Grassroots Ministries is one of the ministries of Herald Cares, which also ministers to families, cancer patients, and victims of disaster. Formerly known as the Herald Restaurant Gospel Ministries, they have changed their name to encompass a wider audience of people who work long hours with little pay. CCC patterned their own restaurant fellowship after their model of establishing fellowship groups for weekly support and worship meetings. Please pray that they may continue to be a model for gathering countless restaurant workers across the U.S. and around the world to hear the gospel. Agape is an organization which is local but has far-reaching results. They sponsor a Christian corner in the local Chinese newspaper, which lists all the area Chinese churches and publishes Christian articles, messages, and testimonies. Over the years, CCC has begun many outreach projects based on observations made through our Chinatown Service Center and our own members, recognizing that many of our neighbors have not yet heard the gospel. The weekly Wallach Bible study is an example of an outreach that has resulted in many becoming believers. What began as the 9 to 12 club, numbers which described an age range, has become a bi-monthly Bible study and fellowship for neighborhood children. Known as the Cool Church Kids, the program has become a regular ministry of CCC. Another outreach ministry was the Restaurant Fellowship, which started with a small handful of people with a vision to reach DC's restaurant workers and has become their own little congregation. Meeting every Sunday evening, they worship, pray, and, as with any CCC gathering, fellowship around food. They also sponsor an annual Thanksgiving outreach event. Our work has just begun. Where is God calling you to serve?
Thank you, Linda. That was really a wonderful summary of where we're at. Oh, good. Here we got Daisy coming up, and he's going to be talking about his short-term mission activities that occurred this past summer.
Good morning, church. Thank you for this opportunity for me to share. Before I begin, I'd just like to thank the church for just all the support that I've received over this summer with long emails and just prayer support and just the finance on behalf of my mission trip. Thank you. It was amazing. I totally enjoyed my summer. Okay, so for the purpose of my mission trip this summer, I was baptized recently this year on April 20th, which is Easter Sunday, relatively a new Christian. I wanted to seek God on a deeper level. I decided to go on this mission trip when Dongwoo told me about it. It was an opportunity for me to serve in San Francisco, opportunity for me to go on a mission trip with one of my best friends, and it was, just serving God. So I thought it was a really good opportunity for me to go in, to San Francisco. Last minute, Dongwoo decides to bail out on me, and that's when I lost sight of why I wanted to go. I didn't know what to do, so I prayed and asked, in these exact words, I says, God, if you want me to go on this mission trip, pay for my mission trip, and have the missions directors accept me. I was terrified at this point because I was too late to apply for internships. I was too late to apply for internships. I didn't know what to do with my summer, and how was I supposed to raise this big amount of money that I needed for this trip? I had fears and thoughts like, what if I die in California? No one would know because I don't know anybody. Like, I was supposed to go with Dongwoo. If I died, he could have called and told my parents or something. So doubts and fears actually came in. Which caused me to become lazy. I put like little amounts of effort in going on this mission trip at this point. I invested most of my time hanging out with my friends. But God didn't let go of me there. He definitely used people like church leaders to you know, push me. One was Garrett who made me apply for the short-term missions grant. I think it's called a grant. Which surprising, the church gave me half of my missions funding, which is a lot, I don't want to say, but they gave me half, and I guess that gave me a little bit more motivation, and I was like, wow, God is coming through, and I just let it, you know, ride for a little while, not worrying about my mission trip. Some days passed, 2 weeks, it's like 2 weeks into my mission trip. I have only half of my missions funding. I have no support letter. And I come to church on Sunday, and Linda asks me, Linda's someone else that God used to help me. Linda asked me, like, how are you doing with your mission trip? I told her I have nothing. And within that week, she wrote me a support letter. She booked my flight, and she helped me raise the other half of my mission trip. And, I was still, like, I was just so overwhelmed and, I guess a little bit more excited to go now. And then I remember the night before my flight, I was so terrified because I'm traveling on my own and I'm going to a place that I've never been and I'm going to meet people that I've never seen before. But I took that big leap of faith. I remember the first night I was there laying in my bed. I wasn't able to sleep. I think it was because of the jet lag. I was kind of broken down because I was far from home. I had never been so far from home. I go to college 30 minutes away from here. I was far from family. I'd never been so far from family. And I had a great summer start, I guess. I just enjoyed my summer, and me being on this mission trip was going to, like, ruin it. So I was definitely sad the first day. But I decided to keep a good attitude because I'm here for 7 weeks, you know, I can't be always down. So I decided to keep a good attitude. I thought in my head, I was saying in my head that God's brought me so far, why should I stop here? Oh, why should he stop here? Within the first 2 days, things started to unfold. Our mission's purpose on this mission trip was Psalms 34:8, which was to taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him, and I definitely experienced that. We went to evangelize on campuses like Berkeley, I forgot all the colleges, sorry. But we went to evangelize on campuses, boba tea cafes, Starbucks, hipster coffee places, and we served local Chinese communities and food pantries. We served the homeless. We partnered with churches serving kids there, doing worship. We did worship a couple of times. And just being a small group leader, doing all that experience, like talking to several different people and seeing people come to Christ was just amazing. Talking to the Chinese community and seeing how much the local food pantry just served them. And it was just so heartwarming to see that. Being a leader at the home church away from home and seeing kids praying and leading in worship was just so surprising. And just talking and living out all this experience with my mission sheet was just priceless. Through all this good stuff, I saw how God, how good he was and his greatness. I guess one thing I got out of my mission trip was this school year was a rough, rough school year for me. never have I prayed or just relied on God so much. I had so many feelings that just like wanted me to like run away. And just like last fall semester coming to school, I got into drinking and doing drugs, and I guess feelings this year like wanted me to go back into that because it was a way of, I felt like I was accepted in that world, you know, I was really cool. I made out with girls, everything was just good for me, you know, I wanted to get back and I felt a sort of acceptance and I wanted to go back into that. But I think that one thing that I really experienced this summer was the overwhelming joy of serving the Lord. And what made me fall back, I mean, that's the one thing that I fell back on every time I wanted to do something bad. And I could truly say that I did taste and see how good the Lord was and how God was this summer. And yeah, I guess one thing I want to leave is just, I hope this encouraged you. And yeah, I want you to go on a mission trip too, I guess. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Indeed, it's good that not only that we have an opportunity to serve, but also be served and be changed by these short-term missions. And again, it's obvious that Daisy's journey is continuing, and he's continued to be prepared and equipped. All right, let's move on to the next. Teresa, Charles, and we'll be presenting what happened at the summer camp in Wuxi as helping out Greg and Luna in their ministry.
Good morning. I'm Teresa Chi, and this is the fifth year of this summer camp that is by our missionary Gray Chan organized, and it's my third year going to this summer camp. And each year in the last 5 years, they are in different locations. So because the Chinese government does not like this kind of gathering together. So this year, we are in this place called Matthew's Resort Area, but this location is really by God's grace that they gave to us. Before I left Hong Kong to go to the site, and I have no idea where I was going because there was a site that was planned, and suddenly police came, and then they have to scrap the whole place, and they have to move. And so within 3 days, after lots of prayer, lots of God's intervention, and they finally found a new place. And I didn't even know where I was going when I was arriving in China to go to this camp only a few days before, and they found out this place. And God's grace, and even though he called Matthew, but the owner does not know any, is not a Christian. But because, you know, God's intervention, and he was, you know, brave enough to let us to move in. Of course, you know, money-wise, you know, he wants the profits. But after, you know, we moved in, and we found out that he's not a Christian, but he let us go in, and he said actually his family totally enjoy our presence over there. Even his kids came and joined some of the activities. We were the first week, so we would kind of set the program, and they have, it's 24/7. That means that students come in and sleep and eat for 4 weeks, and they're from 7 years old till about 16 years old. So we need a lot of counselors. The counselors are all Christians that within China, and they come and just volunteer a lot. You know, they have a little stipend, but it's mostly volunteering, and they also have the heart for do, you know, their full-time ministry. They really committed themselves, so that really, you know, they would stay with the kids 24/7, even sleeping, they're sleeping with the kids. And our role is to teach the kids during the day, so we give them a break. So give them a break during the day, but, you know, this eating time, they had to sit with the kids, the sleeping time, they had to get the kids, and even brush the teeth and taking a shower and teaching the kids how to wash clothes themselves and how to do all these chores, and they are the guidance. So this is a lot of farming area there is really a fun thing. So can we just go, the pictures keep going? Okay, so you see, and this is our team. This is our team, Pastor Ku, Joanna, Sophia, and Mrs. Lee, Old Jamie, and Colbert and I. And we are really a good team. And we have two sessions. One is for the youth, Pastor Ku, me, and Old Jamie. Mrs. Lee is doing the youth, and Colbert, Sophia, and Joanna is doing the young kids from 6 to about 10 years old. This is when their last minute need to move. So it was the week before we start. Actually, the counselors were in training, and they got the notice that they cannot have camps there anymore. So it's this last 3 days, and they found another camp and moved in, and then the following weekend, they start the camp. This is some of the activities that we do there, and some officers, and that's the camp that they did a lot of activities. The red shirts are the counselors, and the green shirts are the students. We did a lot of activities there to lead them. It's the first week, so a lot of those students come from almost 16 provinces, and they come by themselves. So this is a lot of, and half of them are from Christian families. They're not necessarily Christians themselves, and half of them are no background in Christianity and just heard about friends or their parents or heard from their friends and just brought them there. So this is some of the gathering. They celebrate by teams, and so there's the team. They do a lot of competitions within the teams, and they learn how to teamwork. And it's difficult for some of those kids because they are one child family. A lot of them come from one. You know, that no brothers and sisters. You know, they only have cousins. Only a handful of them, you know, had cousins. So they are. So they don't know how to work together. So we took a long time to get them to work together and to kind of buy into the camp because we're the first week. And by the end of the first week, we already have people commit to say that they want to become a Christian. So by the end of 4 weeks, and I think Charles is going to, Pastor Ku is going to share with us the long-term meaning of this ministry. Charles coming?
Early part in the week, we have to learn to find, you know, places to hide because of authorities coming to investigate. So we were able to, you know, ask Colbert and Sophia to, you know, reenact their hiding place. After the authorities have left, you know, I took a picture of the two of them. They were actually hiding behind, you know, what do you call it?
Counter.
A counter, okay, a bar counter, you know. And here they were very happy, but moments ago, you know, they were actually quite concerned. Teresa and I, you know, were hiding behind the curtains, you know, in the patio, you know, on the second floor. But we are very grateful for God, you know, who protected us and also who shows us that, you know, He's mightier than anything. And we were also told, you know, in case we were found or we have to leave the campsites, you know, there's kind of a backdoor route, so, you know, and it leads into another garden plot belonging to the neighbors. Okay. And we also have to learn to appreciate food. This is how they appreciate and eat their watermelons, you know, in China, you know, right down to the white and the green, okay? If you don't do it, there's a penalty. We also have to learn, you know, creatively how to solve problems. For instance, you know, when we didn't have enough bedrooms to share, and some of the people have to, you know, be content with camping outside a lot, you know, together with a lot of mosquitoes now. And youth ministry that we've been doing for the last several years is a piece of a larger, you know, network of, you know, church ministries. Over the last 2 or 3 years, Greg and a couple other churches have started what they call Youth Ministries Unlimited. The focus is on training, equipping, and evangelizing the young people. And the summer camp is only a part of the whole ministry team. You know, so every year the church has been sending a number of people over to help out, you know. And the vision and mission of the overall ministry is to shepherd youth to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is very much neglected in the many churches, China included. We don't want the young people to grow up becoming spiritual orphans. It is a common occurrence. We also know that Jesus desires that people, even though when they are little, you know, would follow him and be his disciples. And part of the vision and mission also, you know, has something to do with equipping the youth to be, to be disciples for Jesus, because this is very much a part of the Great Commission. And for the past summer camp, we have about 150 campers. We have more than 30 counselors, you know, full-time dedicated. We also have several teaching teams from outside. We have students coming from 12 to 16 provinces in China. When we started about 5 or 6 years ago, we had people coming from about 3 or 4 provinces. Now it's expanded to about 16. We have, you know, kids coming from 20 plus cities and many different churches. And also, you know, about 60% of the teenagers were not believers. So we have opportunity to share the gospel with them. And also, it is first this year that, you know, as a result of the expanding work, another church in Fujian province in China, this year sent counselors over to come, you know, and join us for the orientation and instruction class. And after week one of orientation, they returned to their hometown, and they have a similar summer camp in Fujian. This is a work in progress. It is also, you know, one of the things that we are very thankful to God for allowing us a very small part in promoting youth ministries in China. We need that over there. We also need it in our church. So continue to pray for this aspect of challenging ministry wherever God may send us.
Thank you, Texas. For the sake of time, I'll be sharing, and I'd love for May and Luis to share, but just for the sake of time, I'll do most of the sharing. I also want to say, as waiting, Dazi, where are you? He's disappeared. You're gone. Well, we love you. Proud of you. And okay. Also, I want to say what a wonderful blessing to have Linda Wong. Maybe next year, Linda Wong will come with me to Kenya. I see. I'm sure she could do a lot. Here we go. Where is Dazi? Who just disappeared? Okay. All right, real quick, let me just introduce, I'm sorry, some of us don't know each other. This is my wife, Mei Yi, and my best friend, Luis, and I'm so thankful we can all be in this together. So first thing we're going to do, I'd like to share a video in Kenya. Go ahead, Luis.
What do you want? What?
You love me.
You love me? We love you too.
Oh, hold on.
Sorry, we're gonna start it.
No.
What do you want? What?
You love me.
You love me? We love you too.
You love me.
We love you. How much money?
See ya.
Pause it. All right. If you didn't see that, these kids were begging for money, and we were just brushing them off and saying, "Oh, you said money? I mean, honey, you love me." But that's the truth. When we're in Kenya, every single person wants to use you. And last week, even as we were in the missions committee, Luis is receiving text says, "Hey, where's my money?" And Luis is poor, very poor. So our goal when we went to Kenya is that we don't want to give people money because it can really cause a lot of problems. It can corrupt people, it can make people lazy, and it can feed greed. And so what we wanted to do is not give money. We wanted to teach people to fish, not give them fish. You give someone a fish, you feed them for a day, you teach them to fish, you feed them for a lifetime. But as many of you all know, I don't know if you have kids or work with kids, it's sometimes much, much easier just to give them a fish as opposed to teach them the fish. And so what we did was we wanted to create a Christian bookstore, and that required a lot of work. So this is some of the books that I had in my house. Next slide. And it took a lot of work to gather all of them and ship it. Next slide. And this is the easy storage place that I stored. We had 360 boxes of books, thanks to you all as well as many other people, with 60 boxes of clothing, 7 boxes of electronics, and a couple TVs, bikes, and etc. And on September 11th, we finally loaded a container. We had 2 hours, and Luis did most of the working, and I hired two Hispanic people from Home Depot, and that's why I'm happy Luis could communicate with them. So thank God for him. Next slide. And yes, that went smoothly. Excellent. And so this is in Kenya. So after the shipment went out, my friend in Kenya, his name is Bubbly, I told him to quit his job, and here he is. He's preparing to receive the shipment by building materials to prepare a bookstore and a library. And here he is. He's buying certain things. He wants to create a door for the store. Excellent. And here he is again, just purchasing materials. Keep going. Okay. That's his church, that's the bookstore. And go ahead. So finally, this past Monday, after a whole couple weeks of the container being held up at the port, they were finally able to receive the container. And I got a text from him, and the specific words were, they were in tears of joy. So it was a lot of stress, and they were so excited, and I feel so relieved because, you know, a lot of people put a lot of work into this. And so they were finally able to receive it. And when he got it, the reason they were crying is, you know, the fact that they were just happy they got it. But they just could not believe how much stuff we had sent them. And he was telling me, well, I was expecting like a couple dozen of books, boxes of books. No, we gave him, you know, 360. And I told him, I think you're going to need to build some more bookshelves. And he definitely agreed because his library was way too small. That is their church. Go back. And you see all the boxes everywhere. To them, that is an honor to have that kind of stuff there. For our church, that's considered disorderly worship, but that is like a gold mine. And actually, the first night I called him, he called me at 4 o'clock in the morning. They were still there. They were so excited. I was excited. And he said, my friend Bubbly said, I'm taking the first shift watching this stuff because this is like treasure. It needs to be guarded. And so he was the first security guard. Actually, they hired security the next night, but he fell asleep and someone actually broke into the church. But don't worry, my friend Bubba, he's so smart. He took all the electronics and put it in his house. So nothing important was stolen. And you can't take those books. It's just too many. If you took some, I wouldn't even know. But next slide, that's some of the electronics we donated. There's the library. They're loading up the library. They're still in the process of organizing and sorting out the stuff. Continue. Yeah, those are some pictures of them organizing. Where are they right now? They are trying to figure out, right now they're in the process of building the bookstore. They're in the process of creating business plan strategies, how to market it, where the best utilize the space. They're thinking of either, renting the entire sanctuary or half the sanctuary, or opening up a store next door, or building a new location. I do want to say, most importantly, that a lot of work went into this. A lot of people took a huge leap of faith. None of this could happen without the support of so many people. So I want to thank my friends, CCC Missions Committee, the Maryland Bible Society, everyone who donated and gave. This is so important to us. And I also want to thank Pastor Charles for coming with me to Kenya. So that our next step is for us all together to go to Kenya, Luis, Charles, and I, so that we can evaluate the progress and see how we can best utilize what God has given us, because this is a tremendous responsibility, and we hope to do everything as faithfully as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. As Garrett said, that they'll be going in the end of December. So, and again, if you have an opportunity to talk with Garrett or Luis or Charles. Okay, now we're going to conclude by giving an update on what's going on with the Samuel Pollard Institute. Are you with you with the peace be known? Okay.
I want to thank the Mission Committee in Texas for giving me an opportunity next to present Brother Wen Song Wang, a missionary educator at the Yizhu minority village, Yunnan, China. Next. Brother Wang is a dedicated missionary educator. He founded the Samuel Pollack Institute, which provides free education for primary students, children and women health, as well as preaching the Christian gospel in the villages in southwest China. Next. Brother Wang is also a gifted thinker and writer. With his meager resources, he was able to produce 2 documentary films and urged the Chinese government to broadcast this in the central government television called CCTV. One of them is on Samuel Pollack. A second one on Matteo Ricci. Both are overseas missionaries who worked in China in the 18th century. Brother Wang also co-author a book entitled Salt and Light of the World, describing the lay Christian contribution to the Chinese community in the early 20th century. This shows Brother Wang was giving a presentation at the YouTube broadcast at TED describing the missionary activities that are needed in these remote villages in China. Next. Going back on historical perspective, Brother Wong is the only child of parents who were college professors in Beijing. Both of them died during the Cultural Revolution persecution in Beijing. Brother Wong grew up as an orphan. But by pure hardworking and intelligence, he was able to obtain a government scholarship to come to the United States, graduated from an American college, and get a good job in California. Most people would have stayed to enjoy the American facilities, environment, and freedom. But he decided to return to China to be a missionary at this minority village in southwest China. He chose to work in this minority village and built the Samuel Pollack Institute. Now, Samuel Pollack is an Englishman sent from the Missionary Society in 1864, around that period. For 20 years, he never had a single Chinese convert to Christianity. The British Missionary Society decided to call him back to England. But while he was packing, three people from the Miao minority village came and begged him to stay. And he stayed. Samuel Pollack is a gifted linguist. The Miao language is only a spoken language, but he developed it into a written language and translated the New Testament into this new written language of the Miao minority. And he died in China while he was nursing a child with typhoid fever. He was buried in China. During the Red Guard period of Cultural Revolution, they dig his grave and scatter his bones to show the contempt for the Christian missionaries. Fortunately, around 20 years ago, the Chinese president, Hu Jintao, gave a speech recognizing the contribution of Samuel Pollack. And the local government then rebuilt his grave site, and Brother Wang catches this political moment and developed the Samuel Pollack Institute to start the teaching program in this Yizhou minority village. Next. This institute was built in the Yezi village. It is in a remote mountainous area about 5 hours from Kunming. The Lord provided me with an opportunity to visit. And during this five-hour journey, going to the Polak Institute. There are so many car accidents on the road, one of them fatal. And the dead body was put on the ground, on the road, with the wives crying over the dead body because it was so remote and so difficult to reach this place. Next. Now, this is the Samuel Pollard Institute that he built. And the reason why he chose this Yezi village is there are several characteristics. One, these people, they are simple, loving, and devoted. They may not be able to read the Bible because the whole village has only one person who is a high school graduate. All they can learn is to sing their devotion to the Lord. That's all they can do. You go to the service, the sermon is short, and no profound theological expositions, but they love the Lord. Secondly, they were so generous at the Thanksgiving service. They just put a box in the church, and the whole congregation line up, put cash into this box. Hey, you say, well, how come this is such a strange place? The village has no bank, no government recognition for churches, no bank account. Just the elder took their money and trust them, and they built that beautiful church in this remote area in southwest China. Next. And the institute provide education for the primary students, these lovely children. At the age of 10, they have to go to the farm to work and provide manual labor for the poultry, and they have no chance to attend school 25 miles from their home. But Brother Wong provided free classes for them to attend. The institute also provide one breakfast per day to them of soybean milk that the teacher grinded to serve them. That's the only nutritious meal for the day for these children. Next. The institute also provides health care by herbist, the only clinic in the general area. But since Brother Wong was there, the infant mortality rate has greatly decreased. The people were able to survive in this harsh environment. Next. And they have built this church, as I said before, and this whole church consists of only one big room. That's where they worship, their fellowship meeting. That's where we have Thanksgiving dinner. That's all. And there's no restroom in the whole church. Next. In this year, there are three major earthquakes in that region. In May, August, and October, you can see the devastation in this region of China, and thousands were killed. Many more were wounded. Next. You can see the rescue work. The Samuel Pollard building was spared miraculously. but was damaged. Next. You can see this is the dove of the Holy Spirit. You see the breakdown, the cracks in the stairs, the leaking in the water system. Next. So Brother Wong shared with us, our church, it needs $5,000. Why is it so expensive? There is no construction worker in that neighborhood. They have to go to Kunming and drive the construction worker to this remote language so that they can build it. And our church has generously provided the support. Next. The annual budget is about $60,000. They is provided by three American churches, including us at CCC and Friends of the Mission. This amount of money provides allowance for 9 teachers. Each of them are college graduates recruited from the house churches all over China, so they work there. And they have a salary of $50 a month, less than your petty cash. And they have free breakfast, as I mentioned before, for the students. Next. They have free village clinic, health services, and Christian educational expenses. Next. I was there for a few days. I learned several things which I'd like to brought back to you. Christian missionary work is harsh. It's harsh physically, mentally, and spiritually. When I was visiting there, Brother Wong gave him his own bed for me to stay. The outside temperature was 20 degrees Fahrenheit. There was no heating in the house or in the bedroom. I was on 3 comforters and was still shaking. Finally, they came and bring in a hot water bottle. I have never known a hot water bottle would keep me falling asleep and over the night. Life is harsh, physically, and mentally even harder. There's no television, no shopping mall. There's only occasional cell phone to call home for these 9 teachers. Spiritually, they were even worse. Their only enjoyment was to read the Bible 1 hour in the morning and 1 hour in the evening together. That's all their entertainment. That's where they shared the love and fellowship. And they stayed there for several years. Next. The missionary needs really strength from the Holy Spirit, optimism and faith, and the support of Christian community as this, to provide them with physical strength, mental ability, and comfort of God's love in their dedicated work to the people in this remote area of China. Thank you.